and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.
Here for the last time.
Oh my goodness.
Time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun. Actually, we're talking off air. It's gone pretty slowly.
Yeah, I physically feel wrecked. But that could be for a whole range of reasons, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's leg day. It's not me.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you had the same effects as leg day. I think you've been on record saying that you've had a generally good time.
Yes, on and off record.
Any passing, what do they call it, final thoughts, closing statements before you...
before I get sentenced? I have enjoyed myself.
Yeah, for all the shit that I give you, I've enjoyed having you here as well.
That's really nice to hear.
Just how I express it. If I gave you nothing, I think that would be worse, arguably.
You know what? I actually think progressively we've warmed to each other. Mm. In the beginning, you didn't really give me that much. And then you have...
And you've got meaner.
Yeah, then you got meaner and I'm like, whoa. Well,
it feels like you can be mean though.
Yeah, exactly. Like but you have to test the boundaries with people, right?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Have to go like, how like savage can I be? How jovial in, you know, a bantery way can I be with this person? You have to find your limits.
Interestingly, I don't think I'm as mean or savage with Jules.
Well, maybe give it a go next week and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Could be interesting.
Or maybe Jules is just not as silly as I am.
Maybe. I feel like she might take stuff to heart more.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't know. If Jules, if you're listening, I don't know. Maybe I'll be meaner to you.
Yeah, there's only one way to find out.
Mean is generous. It's just, you know, savagery in jest for the sake of, you know, because sometimes I think the bit is funnier if it's like that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And that's fine. We've lent into that. That's been kind of like our vibe for the 5 weeks that
I don't think I've really ever done a show where it's like, you know, we all stand around and hold hands type thing. I don't think it's enjoyable to listen to. Because I think that generally speaking, I don't know if this might be a uniquely Australian thing even, maybe, but like there's a lot of like savagery and roasting and like being into shit talking to your mates and at your mates.
Definitely.
Within Australian culture.
Definitely.
I probably, in saying that, I would actually extend that through to like
England?
British culture.
Definitely.
I reckon it's there a little bit.
Mm.
But like I've got friends from like the States and some family there. And when I meet people from other countries, they are a little bit perturbed by the whole like, oh.
Jestfully ribbing.
Yeah, because we do it a lot.
Yeah, like, definitely.
But it is a thing of endearment for Australians.
Mm. Yeah. So, oh my gosh, does that mean that Nick actually is my friend?
No. Contractually until...
In like 20 minutes.
Well,
after our meeting with Mama Bear Mal, then...
Oh, do we still have that today?
Oh, do we? I don't know.
We should just
do a quick one. To
absolutely.
Just say
what,
bye.
What is it? What's it gonna, yeah, exactly.
Literally, the three of us will just put our hands into a circle
up.
And go, 1, 2, 3, done.
Yeah, we'll put our power rings together and we'll combine into Radio Guy.
Yes.
Radio Lord.
So excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think my final thoughts are obviously the emotional and family stuff we went through yesterday. That's been really important, I think, for my journey in this 5 week period personally, like on a personal level. But in terms of professionally and as an experience, I feel like I've learned a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
I actually
I've grown a lot. Absolutely. The 5 weeks, just from a purely professional standpoint, objectively, you've become like a lot better. That's not to say. Take that necessarily as a compliment.
Yeah.
Take it as a bit of a compliment.
Yeah.
But like from where you were to like within, what is it, 25-ish, 24 shows, because I wasn't here for one of them. But like it's hard to not do something for that long because we do a three-hour show.
Yeah.
It's hard to not do something for that long and not get better.
Totally. Totally.
So
I've done the minimum.
Stark contrast. Stark contrast.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I agree. I think it's definitely, so from a professional level, I'm really proud of myself and I think that it's great. And it's been a lovely experience.
That's good.
On a personal note, I never want to speak to you again.
That's fine. You're coming to the comedy thing in October, so I'll see you then.
Ah, damn, another contractual obligation.
That's fun for people listening to this podcast right now. There's a thing happening in October that I think it's fine that you know about. We're not talking about it on air for a little while, but there's something happening in October which is exciting. Lots of exciting things happening. We've got Jules back on Monday. I think I can say what the present is. I think that's fine. You know, you've taken the effort to come get the podcast. You might not even care. It's a very, very high possibility. We've got a new producer starting with us on Monday, the same day Jules is back.
So good.
I've been saying that the show is going to become, it's something that everyone's going to benefit from. And I do think that because I do think the producer will make the show better because there'll be just less stuff that falls through the gaps. there'll be more attention to detail in certain areas, and it'll be good. It'll be nice to have a wider team.
Absolutely. Exciting times.
Because one thing, because you haven't really gotten to, I suppose you got to live a little bit that one day that Jules was here before she left, where it was the three of us in the studio. But when we had a producer, when producer Matt was around, like, I love doing the show with Jules, but doing the show with Jules and Matt is very fun. Like, not even just from an on-air perspective, but having, like, me doing the break with Jules, having Matt off to the side to, like, laugh out loud at stuff or to just, like, as a, just to bounce ideas, having a wider team where you're all quite good friends is very fun.
Yeah. Well, here's to hoping you're quite good friends.
That's true. I think that Ellie and the team will become friends. Like, she has friend potential.
Hey-o, you heard it here first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Friend potential.
So that's exciting for Monday. How have you physically found, by the way?
I have been surprisingly great at early mornings.
Yeah, I reckon.
What the actual...
Yeah.
Can I say it?
Well, yeah.
I haven't done it yet on the podcast.
You can if you want.
Anyway, what the actual... I you were like, she's gonna do it.
I had to cut out the word she used, guys, because it was one of the not okay ones for the podcast.
I didn't say it. Anyway, I didn't say anything. I've been so good at it.
Yeah, it's been for a lot of I go through periods where like I'll be wake up and I'll go, oh, this is, you know, we're having a good week, we're having a good day, like physically, like in terms of energy levels. But you're pretty switching on for the 5 weeks, which is
what the hell? I was not expecting to be this cruisy. Granted, though, as well, like staying at my grandma's, I literally go to sleep at 8 o'clock every night.
Yeah, you've been very good about it.
Yeah. Like, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to do a job. So I'm very much was focused and, you know, kind of tuned into just getting the sleep that I need to be able to sustain.
What time do you get up at?
Four.
Four. Okay. Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's like, I think there's, I was initially expecting you to be like fine at the start because, you know, the adrenaline of the new thing and that side of it.
Exciting sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. Would carry you through. So I really expected you to hit a slump sort of around 3 or 4, but yeah, fine, you know, energy wise. How do you think you'll go going back to, because you are going back to Bendix. So on the off chance, people don't know, but you do the workday shift, which is the 9 to 12 music show in Bendigo, for the Bendigo region. So you are going back to that, which is much kinder hours in a sense. How is that going to be?
I don't know, because like even on the weekends during this time when I've been getting up at 4, I've been getting up early on the weekends as well. Mm. Like my body will wake me up around 5. I go back to sleep, but around 7:30, it's like up. Like,
yeah, we're not going back to
sleep. Yeah, exactly. We're not going back to sleep. So I usually get in Bendigo, I usually get up at 6:45 anyway. Okay. So I think it'll be okay. But we'll
what
see.
Do you reckon, by the way, outside of radio, because the radio skews it, and there's some professions that certainly skews, what do you think is the average time that the Australian wakes up at?
7.
7, you reckon?
Because there's some people that'll be getting up at like 5, 4, and there's some people that'll be getting up at like 9, 10, and the majority of people that get up for work, it would be around 6:45, I think.
Yeah, it'd been at 6:30.
For the
9 slot.
O'clock start.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. God, it would be interesting to be in a like live a life that you could have that. When I during the pandemic, when I was out of breakfast radio, it was about a year stretch there where I wasn't working on any breakfast show. I was just doing stuff. I was working in an optometry, and it was like normal-ish hours in terms of like a kind of 9 to 5 type stuff. Mm. And I remember thinking that I would really enjoy it. And at the time, I was like, "I actually don't enjoy it." I didn't like having the regular schedule, because one of the benefits of this type of job, the breakfast show, is that, yeah, we're up incredibly early, but all of our work is loaded to one end of the day.
Exactly.
So like realistically, we're done sort of anywhere between 11 and 12. And then you've just got literally the rest of the day.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's incredible. I want this, you know, so that is one thing that's come out of it as well. I'm hungrier for a specific role than I thought I was.
Which is good. I mean, it's good that you figured out.
Unfortunately, it's one of the roles that's hard to get.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, that is the journey, which you are very like new on.
Yes.
You know, and hopefully like this 5 weeks expedites. We've said that like, you know, speeds, you know, maybe nullifies some of the shit years. Maybe. Who knows? It might not. But also,
exactly.
There is a potential that it does, which would be very good for you to not have to do the, like, you know, I've seen the... For those wondering, the traditional radio journey that a lot of people take, it's not necessarily the best one. It, as turns out it probably isn't, but it's, you know, a lot of people, they get told that, hey, if you want to end up on one of those big shows in the city that gets paid a lot and gets to do lots of cool stuff and have all the awesome guests, you got to go, you know, go do your hours, cut your teeth out, go out into the regional, go to Stick, some middle of nowhere in Australia somewhere, do a show for a few years and then just progressively move to bigger and bigger shows and eventually you get there.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that's the actual way the path works anymore is a different story, but, you know, you might have skipped part of that process. Like, at the very least, I would suggest you've skipped the small, like the very first step, in the sense that it's like you probably don't have to go and do a breakfast show in the smallest butthole place in the world. Because there are some places where I saw people get trapped for years doing small shows.
Yeah.
Whereas like very, very little towns of like 10,000 people. And I went, yeah. Oof.
I don't want to do that.
No, I don't think it'd be, fun. I don't think it'd be financially sustainable.
To be fair, Bendigo's lovely. So
Bendigo's a great place.
Yeah.
I've often said I wish that our studio is based in Orbradonga, which I have come to love, but like Bendigo's really cool.
Definitely.
Like,
I love
Bendigo. If the show was based out there, it would be just as good.
I am excited to go back to Bendigo for sure. I'm excited to go back to like the people that I know there because I was there for about 4 months before I came here. So I had like, you know, a place and a housemate and colleagues and friends. So it will be good to be back there.
Mm, yeah. Go back to some normality. All right. What else we got?
Do you want to do my grades or are we just going to do A's all round? Because I'm happy to take the A's all round. We can kind of just give me A's.
I mean, yeah, you know, you can have A's.
Thank you.
Woohoo. I was trying to think of like, where would I like, you know,
deduct.
Where would I deduct? And I go, you know, I'd be a real stickler for, you know, if I want to get into the nitty gritties right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And nobody wants that.
Because what, you know what today is? It's a lot like at the end of any given Harry Potter movie where Gryffindor's losing in house points.
Yeah.
And then Dumbledore goes, oh, for his utmost gratitude and massive wand or something, Harry gets 1,000,000 points.
And so I just got my 1,000,000 points.
You got 1,000,000 points. You have 1,000,000 points. A million
I
points to
am
M's house.
Thrilled.
You're actually wearing Gryffindor colors.
Because,
sort of.
I'm a winner. I was going to say everyone's a winner, but I'm a winner, baby. Yeah.
You know, there are years in the book series where like Gryffindor just doesn't win. And I was like, that's a really funny little side detail. Just like to not be like, They really gloss over it like, yeah, and Slytherin won last year. I'm like, yeah, it's funny that the bad guys won.
Well, they're the underdogs. Gryffindor are the underdogs.
Are they I don't know if they're underdogs.
Well, they're like the Drake of the houses. They started from the bottom. Now they're here.
I think that might be. I don't want to talk about the Harry Potter houses too much, but I think that might be moderately controversial.
You just told me that they were losing for years.
Yeah, I don't know. I said I don't want to talk too much.
So that makes you an underdog if you're a loser for years.
No, I think they won like the first year Harry's there, and then they were like they created a dynasty, and then they lost a couple bit when that
Okay. I see what you're saying.
It's been years.
Yeah, okay.
You know, who knows? Who's to say?
Also, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
What matters is the A's that I just received.
Absolutely.
Love them. We'll take them with me on my quest. I'm excited to go back to Bendigo and be like...
Your next job interview being like, hey,
A's,
so
baby.
Tell us about your previous experience. Well, look, I did a breakfast show and I got A's. So.
All of them. All the A's, they were mine.
How long were you doing the show for? Look, doesn't matter. Who gave you the A's? Was it the content director or like the CEO or, you know...
We can ask Mal if he'd give me A's.
I wouldn't ask Mal. No, he would say, he'd give you... Here's what he'd do. He would... This would be a fun experiment that no one listening will care about because we'll probably never follow up on it.
Mm.
But this is what I reckon exactly Mel would do. Is you go, Mel, would you give me A's? And he'd go, he'll make a snide comment and go, oh, I wouldn't know. I don't know about that. Oh, he'll make that noise.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll make a very genuine comment about, be like, no, it's been really great having you here. And, you know, I think everyone's, you know, gotten something out of it and everyone's enjoyed it. And then he'll move on in conversation and he won't actually give you A's.
I can see that so hard.
He'll end it on a positive comment, which will give you the same level of endorphins that an A might have.
That's so true.
He'll trick you into thinking that you've heard what you wanted to hear.
I feel like that is such an accurate guess.
It's a very content directory thing.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take the A's that I got here. I don't care about anything else.
Absolutely.
It's been a lovely time. Thanks for letting me talk my particular brand of garbage for 5 weeks with you.
You got it.
It's been a journey. I feel like we found a groove It's been fun. It's been real. I won't go so far as to say I'll miss you.
It's fine. I actually don't agree with saying like when like goodbyes and the same I miss people anyway. Because I'm like, if I'm going to see you again, which I will see you again, like we work together effectively still. Mm. And we will talk every week anyway. So it's not like you're disappearing forever. It's like you're leaving the company. If you're leaving the company, I'd be like, oh, that's sad. But it's like, that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme. I have friends that used to be like, whenever we would leave, they'd be like, they'd go to hug and like make a big goodbye. I'm like, I'll see you in like 2 days.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, I've gotten better with hugging it as I've gotten older, but I'm like, I'll see you soon. Like, chill out.
Chill out. So I guess we're not going to hug goodbye.
You can if you want. We'll see what the vibe is in an hour, honestly.
See what the vibe is in an hour.
All right.
Anyway, tune in next week for...
Oh, yeah. I think next week's going to be crazy. So yeah. Tune in for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Tune in for what I can only imagine is going to be a very heavily Europe-flavored week.
Certainly. Absolutely.
And Aaliyah-flavored week. Who's the name of the producer, I should say, by the way.
Yes.
That's not just a radio term. All right. Have a good weekend, everyone. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
As we go on, we remember all the time we had together. Time for... Not quite the news bulletin. We do it every Friday. I bring to you some headlines that the regular news, the journalists, newsreaders, TV presenters, etc. They say not important. I say, I tisk at them. I go, come on, guys. This is incredibly important. Heading to the weekend, these are some of the headlines that you need to know. How about this one to kick things off? Beyond Say Less, Beyond Sydney is about to happen. So
sorry,
that was
say that all again.
So Beyond Say Less.
Okay, Beyond Say Less.
Beyond Sydney is about to happen.
Okay.
So Beyond Sydney. Beyonce is currently doing a world tour at the moment.
Yes.
And unfortunately, she hasn't announced Australian dates. Fans believe they have figured out the date on which that she will announce dates to come to Australia. In a recent performance of America Has a Problem, one of her songs, in the background... there's like the scene dressing on the tour is like set at an airport. There's like the flight board and it says flights to Sydney 16th of the 11th. So they believe that they will there's a theory going around that she might announce dates in November.
I am in love with this news story.
So the theory is that in November she'll say she's going to come. Because obviously that's a real quick turnaround if she's just like, I reckon I'll come in November.
Yeah, of course.
Such a big tour. They need a bit of planning. But keep an eye across that one to see if the Beyonce stands out there. What are her fan base called?
Beehive.
The Beehive. The Beehive?
Yeah, Bay.
Something like that.
Beehive.
That doesn't really matter. moving on, Em, I know that you're a big fiend for this, but scientists have finally discovered the proper time to have a cup of coffee in the morning to maximise its effects.
That's what you call a proper f***ing coffee, lads.
Yes, indeed. Make it a proper effing coffee.
Okay.
Because the thing is, a lot of people, and you're not dissimilar, I think, but we'll probably have a coffee within half an hour to an hour of waking up, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, you have one in the studio. When we get in here, we get up early. I get it. If you want that caffeine to have its full effect, for energizing and to make you feel alert, what you want to do is have it about 2 hours after you wake up.
Really?
The idea being is because your cortisol levels are so high when you first wake up because of like the sleep hormone and then also trying to wake you up and get you alert, is that your body is already working on such a level where you wouldn't actually really feel the effects of caffeine.
Wow.
So what it means is if you wake up and you have a coffee and you feel something, that's probably more of a placebo effect. If you want to put the placebo plus the actual physical effects into effect, wait 2 hours and then have that first cup of coffee in the morning.
That is a game changer, Nick. Thank you.
Very much so. All right, close things out. Coca-Cola, they've released a new flavor in Australia. I've seen this in stores. Other people might have. It's this weird, like, Technicolor can. It's kind of, it's almost like the hit colors, actually. Like, it's sort of pink, bit of turquoise, bit of greeny blue. It's the year 3000 limited edition flavor.
What?
It's like a different version of Coke Zero, the year 3000 flavor. And the reason why we're talking about it, because it was actually, the flavor was created by artificial intelligence.
Oh, what?
So if you're in the supermarket this weekend and you see a different can of Coke color than you used to, that was made by AI, apparently.
What?
How bizarre is that? That's how much AI is infiltrating our lives now. It's, you know, where it's making recipes.
I kind of want to try it, though. Ah, Coke, you got us again.
Well done.
Yeah.
bunch of coke addicts in Australia just losing their minds because it was created by AI.
That is wild, though. I do want to try it.
Oh, I'm certainly going. It's zero. It's the zero sugar one, so it's like, I guess, the healthiest version of coke. I don't know. The year 3000, I suppose that's just trying to, you know, this is what coke will taste like in 1,000 years' time.
Or right now in 2023. But okay, Coca-Cola.
The future's now. Hey. It's It Breakfast with Nick and Jules and M. Very close to the last time for the and M part of that situation, hey?
Yes.
Jules is back on deck Monday. She's back from her Euro trip. We will say goodbye to M. Yeah, you've held down the fort well, I think.
Thank you so much. I am obviously really excited for you to get Jules back. You've got a present on Monday for all of you as well, which is really exciting. But certainly I'm feeling, you know, a little sad because I've been having the best time. It's been so good. Fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been really, really fun. And, you know, Nick, you've been a really big part of that because obviously.
Yeah, makes sense.
It does make sense.
So at the very least, I was 50% of it.
Certainly. So yeah. I thought, you know, as a special, you're giving Jules a gift on Monday. So I thought, you know what, as a farewell gift, I'll give you.
Cash.
I actually have written you a poem.
Yeah, I mean, exchangeable for cash or?
Well, how about you be the judge of it?
All right.
Yeah, so this is my poem for Nick as a farewell to say thank you.
All right, here we go.
Thanks so much, Nick, for not being a giant d***. I've learned a lot.
I don't know so far.
Wait, it gets better.
All right.
I've learned a lot. Boring, it has been not. Love your work. Never stop the twerk. And then... And then here it turns into a beat poem.
Oh, no.
It goes twerk, work, quirk, not a jerk.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Jeez. All right, sorry, I'm going to turn this off. That's. Oh, man.
You're not even grateful?
Look, I appreciate you doing what I assume was trying. No, that was great. That was. Did you like do that on the drive-in, or is that something that's been worked on for a little while? Did you workshop that with your grandma, or?
Yeah, yeah, no. Goony and I workshopped that for days.
Wow.
It is important for me to say thank you. I do just want to say thank you.
And I appreciate that. There's better ways of doing it. But...
Look, at least we've been ourselves right until the very end.
Man, I was never not. There was never any other option.
Well, I guess my poem was a lie because you are a bit of a dick.
Well, I don't know. It's... Debatable. No, I appreciate you and your enjoyment over the last few weeks. It's been fun having you.
Certainly.
We still got like 15 minutes of the show left, so pull it together, Em.
Okay, yeah. I'll just clap in the corner like, quirk.
And like if you wanted to work, you said it, by the way, would that poem be exchangeable for cash?
Yes.
I did something at the gym yesterday. They got some interesting looks. I thought I was being, I thought my behavior was warranted. To be completely honest with you.
I mean, someone in the wrong would say that though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, look, how about I tell you and you tell me what you reckon, because I think that it was justify what I did. I'll say this. So I was at the gym and there was an older guy there. I'd put him in his 50s to 60s. Good on him for, you know, working out. I often liken guys in that age bracket to my dad and he doesn't. And I'm always like, you're better than my dad at the moment. So congrats to you.
Okay.
He's working out doing, I just had some dumbbells and I've seen him there a few times and he's done this behavior a couple of times. And I haven't said anything, but every time I see it, I go, mate, what are you doing?
Okay.
What are you doing? So what he does is he'll get the dumbbells out. He'll go sit at like a bench. He'll go wherever, do a few curls or back stuff, like whatever he's doing, he'll pull them out.
Yeah.
And then when he's done, he just leaves them on the floor and walks off.
Thank you. That is not good. That's
atrocious
not good
behavior.
Etiquette for sure.
Absolutely. So I've seen that a few times and I was like, the first time I went, oh, maybe... He's like coming back and I'm just not there to witness him come back to like finish his set or to put him away.
Mm.
Benefit of the doubt. I don't want to assume that he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he might be because it turns out I saw him do it like two or three times over the space of a few weeks now. Just him work out. And he's like, all right, done now. Pop him down and off he pops.
What?
I know. Rude, right? Like
who's
it's rude.
Who's going to pick those up? Come
like,
on.
I get, you know, there's the attitude of, oh, the gym stuff. I'm like, no, they got best stuff they can clean up after you. Like they'll wipe stuff down if they absolutely need to, but like.
That's not really what they're there for, right?
It's gym etiquette.
Yeah,
it's
it is, 100%.
It's a lot of stuff, you know. Anyway.
I agree that this was not the right thing to do, but I'm curious to see what your response was.
So I don't like seeing wrongs be committed, generally speaking.
A vigilante. We've always said this.
Thank you. I'm a gym vigilante. Vigimlante. And I was out there yesterday and I witnessed this crime. And as he put them down and I realized he was about to leave, I said, oh, mate, do you want a hand popping those away?
Mm.
And he goes, no. and then sort of still wandered off.
No.
And I was like, huh. I really, because I thought I was being like quite overtly, I thought I was being very passive aggressive.
Oh.
Like, and I knew I was, but I thought it was justifiable because I knew what was about to happen. Then he's like, oh no. And then he still did the behavior anyway. He still walked off.
I'm so curious about this man and his inner workings.
Like, how does he, he's like, no, like in his mind, oh no, I'm capable of doing it, but I don't want anyone to move him. Like, I don't and he didn't come. I watched someone realize, he didn't go back another 15 minutes, and I saw someone else be like, oh, no one's using them, so I'll use them. So someone else came along and used them. This man needs to be stopped.
I do agree with you that the man needs to be stopped. I don't think passive aggressiveness is the way to do it, though.
I think that might have been the perfect answer. It just wasn't effective.
No, I don't think so. Like, so
what am I supposed to do? Report him? Do I snitch on him to the gym?
Yeah.
Snitching's not the answer.
Snitching is definitely the answer because passive aggressive didn't work.
Snitching's only the answer in prison to get like a TV or a bigger room. It's never the answer in life.
So you got a few weird looks, right?
From people. From him.
From him. You got him. A weird look from him.
From him. Yeah. I think other people saw, it's like when Batman punches a criminal. They're like, other people are on Batman's side here.
Okay.
I'm the Batman of the gym.
Well, I just think you probably could have been a little bit more direct.
I could have been ruder.
Yeah.
Should I have been ruder?
You should have just been more obvious.
I should have been ruder. No.
You should have been ruder. You should have been less passive aggressive and more aggressive aggressive.
Here's the thing. Criminals always return to the scene of the crime.
Yes.
And so he will do this again.
You'll have a second chance.
And so next time I will be like, hey, I talked about you on radio, man.
Yeah. Put your weights away, man. Isn't your house.
Do I start doing the Karen thing and start filming?
Yeah. Why not?
At him.
Yeah. I think you need to go harder next time.
All right. Maybe I actually fight him like I'm actually Batman. Nah, he's pretty jacked for an old guy.
Wear a mask, though.
He'd destroy me.
An Aussie couple has joined a sexy club that nobody wants to be part of.
Mm.
I want to take you to South Australia, and we're going to get aboard a train.
Good afternoon, customers. Your next service to depart from platform one will be...
The Bonetown service, stopping all stations to get lucky, and tickets are only £1. Nick, that was pretty good. Three innuendo there.
Yeah.
A South Australian couple has been, I believe, videoed, certainly photographed, approaching Bonetown they're at Bonetown on a train. Well, I don't like that combination of sounds. No. And certainly I don't like the combination of things I just said. So
no.
It was the Seaford Line on a Tuesday night in South Australia.
No idea what any of that means. But what we do know is that there was a couple sort of enjoying the train more than anyone else ever has.
Yes. And boy, I'm so confused as to how this came to be because...
No, I'm not.
But surely there are other places for you to do this.
Like, oh, yeah, we got buses, airplanes.
But, like, go home.
They're trying to.
But
sometimes you can't wait. We've all been on a train and horny, you know?
Nick, there is no way you're going to take it that far.
I've not taken it this far. I've never been, I've never taken my bits out in public on a train of all places. It's horrifically, there's layers to this, why this is weird. This South Australian couple. There's one where it's like, sex in public in general is considered a bit of a no-go, a bit of a naughty. Mm-hmm. Number two, horrifically unhygienic.
Why are you clapping your hands together?
Sorry,
like
I'm
that?
Imagining.
Oh my god!
It's horrifically unhygienic. If you've ever been on any form of public transport, there's no state. South Australia is not any better than any other state in this country.
Yes,
they are all let's be frank. Like the seats on public transport probably are covered by certain fluids that we wouldn't want to think about, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We've just added to it. If you wouldn't take a black light to public transport, you would die.
Exactly. No, you do not want to do that. Actually, the South Australian police are investigating the video now because
that's what they're saying. They've just been watching it on their on the work phone. They're like, what are you up to, constable?
Well, the
don't
thing
worry
is,
about it.
There are seats in front of the, you can't see the graphic detail, but you certainly see the motions. And
we can't see the train pulling into the station.
That's right. You can't see that. But the police are
investigating.
You
can certainly hear it.
Well, yes.
You can hear the train coming from a mile away.
Oh, my gosh. Olivia Rodrigo performed at the VMAs. Yesterday, I gave you your VMA cheat sheet, what facts you could take to the office, be armed with, and, you know, look like you know what's happening in pop culture. After the VMAs, of course, they've got the VMA after parties. There's multiple, a lot happens, And I thought, I'll give you a quick VMA's after party cheat sheet today as well. So you're really ahead of the game when it comes to pop culture.
Honestly, best case scenario, because we're just the people. We're not going to get invited to these after parties.
No. So, you know, just have like a little sizzle reel that you can like pull out and be like, oh my gosh, Cardi B at her after party. Which brings me to my first piece of information.
Cardi B at her after party.
That's right. Hosted by Atlantic Records. That's her label, I imagine. And she was the host of the party. You know, the hostess with the mostest. She actually rocked up to the after party that she was hosting at 2 a.m. Granted, it is an after party, but that still feels a little late.
Quite late. I mean, the VMAs wrap up at about 10 or 11, I believe.
Yeah, so she's about 4 hours behind the ball.
What was she doing? Who's to say?
Who's to say? Probably getting changed. But what she did do is, you know, she rocked
up. For 4 hours? Getting changed?
I mean, it takes a long time to get hair and makeup done.
That's all right. Sure.
She kind of like made up for it though, because when she did arrive at 2 a.m., she did end up twerking on the bar top for almost an hour.
Twerking for an hour. That's a heck of a workout.
The VIP crowd apparently absolutely loved it. She brought the energy. An hour of twerking. Cardi B redeems herself for the late arrival.
Is that not an OH&S issue if you're twerking for an hour?
I mean, when you're Cardi B, I don't think so, because I feel like twerking is like one of her superpowers.
It's true. If it was anyone else, it was me twerking, because I tried twerking for an hour here at the station once and HR didn't love it.
Yeah, HR would have got involved. Legal were like, we can't have all of that junk up in
for
this.
An hour, 45 minutes. Okay.
Another quick piece of information. Selena Gomez also hosted her own after party. That after party had the likes of Taylor Swift, Channing Tatum, Zoe Kravitz, all at that kind of after party.
Less twerking, I imagine, there.
I think so. And pretty much all of the outfits I've seen to Selena's after party, very short skirts. And like kind of not very movable bodies of the dresses.
Interesting.
So I think less twerking was involved.
Impractical
for sure.
When it comes to the twerk.
Yes. A little bit of beef, like if you, internet kind of sleuthing happening with Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo's beef. But I don't think it's worth getting into. You can bring that up if you want to. But
but we're not going to, because we don't know it. We don't understand it.
I just don't think it's worthy. What is worthy though, if you want to really seem like you're across it today about the afters. Remember yesterday I said Justin Timberlake and Megan Thee Stallion had like a little bit of beef?
Yeah.
There's video online of Megan like kind of pointing aggressively at Justin and saying stuff. And then Justin kind of looks a bit taken aback.
Yeah.
And the internet was like, whoa, they had a fight. That's crazy. I said their management had said, hey, there's no beef. But of course, the internet being the internet was still.
Yeah, it said there was.
Yes. Can confirm. At one of the after parties, Megan Thee Stallion and Justin Timberlake have made a video together.
Oh, it was Megan twerking all over Justin make amends for it.
It was Megan saying, I just talk with my hands, y'all, lol, like Justin and I are fine. And they're obviously fine.
Megan talks with her hands. Cardi B talks with her ass.
A lot happened at the VMAs after parties.
Huge.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.